The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
And Kyle Draper coming to us from Atlanta, where tomorrow night the Kings take on the Hawks. And we have decided, I don't know how the Kings feel about it, but we have decided that the Kings should have interest in a player that they figure to face tomorrow night, DeJounte Murray. According to published reports, the Hawks may make him available. The Hawks are trying to figure out how to improve their lot. So, I don't know, Kyle. We're still getting reactions from, you know, the best fans in the NBA. Here's one from Big Lou. I don't know what we can give the Hawks what besides picks, unless they want a veteran presence with Barnes. So this theoretical deal would probably involve, I mean, certainly multiple picks, plus a veteran or two, the way I see it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you're Atlanta, you have a decision to make. Are you building around Trae Young? Are you tearing it down and blowing it up? And then that way, you know, your biggest, you know, thing you would want in return are draft picks. What's your plan going forward? And when you look at, you know, I was looking at this Hawks roster. You know who would be very good on this team? Bogdan Bogdanović.
Wow. Well, we know the Kings love him.
Right? Wouldn't it be nice to have Bogey come back? I mean, because he's having a phenomenal season this year, 39% from three, coming off the bench, averaging 17 points per game. Like, that dude, I think, would be nice in Mike Brown's system. I'm still all in on a DeJounte Murray situation. What I'm afraid about now, too, is when you look at our assets, how much value do they have? We're talking about LaVine and Siakam and all of this. And we just said it, Whitey. Even our draft picks aren't what they used to be.
I know.
And so do we have the assets even to go out there and get some of these guys? I hear some of the proposed trade ideas out there. Everybody has a trade machine that they're running things through. And some of the stuff I see on social media, I say to myself, why would these other teams want to do that? You know, and so do we have the assets to get a DeJounte Murray, to get a LaVine or a Caruso? Are we fooling ourselves with that? I don't know. What do you think?
I think we may be fooling ourselves, but, you know, we're good at that. The other thing, though, is, to your point, if I'm going to give up picks, I may have to give up more than I would like to, just to make my deal, my offer, I should say, competitive, right? You know, I might not want to get more than two, but I may well have to offer three. Then again, as we discuss, you get to a point where the other team goes, three picks, and when is that last pick? We're talking years down the road. We won't even be here then. So,
and what complicates it for the Hawks is that their 2025 first-round pick, so not this year, next year, belongs to the Spurs. 2026 is a pick swap with the Spurs. 2027, unprotected, belongs to the Spurs. So
they need picks then.
Well, they don't want to tear it to the ground because they don't get anything for it if they tank. They don't get the draft picks to show for it.
Yeah, so they need picks, Kyle. So I'm telling you, we may have something cooking here. Maybe.
Yeah, that may be it, you know, and maybe. You know, it reminds me of when I was in Boston, the Celtics made a trade with the Nets, and the Nets got Pierce and Garnett, and the Celtics got a treasure trove of their picks.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was a team that, you know, was going for it. The Celtics were sort of in rebuild mode, and they were able to make a trade and rebuild on the fly. When you look at what the Nets have done, like, they've traded picks for Kevin Durant, they've traded James Harden. Like, they've sort of got rid of their guys, brought them back. And so the DeJounte Murray thing, this is why I bring it up, it sort of reminds me of what Brooklyn did when they got Pierce and Garnett, or when they got Harden and Kevin Durant. They sort of realize their mistake now with DeJounte Murray, and it's not DeJounte's fault. It just doesn't fit. And so now they have to sort of save face and try and recoup some of those picks. And maybe that's a way for the Kings to get DeJounte Murray. You're not going to get the same haul that you gave up to get him from San Antonio. Like, that was a foolish deal, like three first round. And remember, DeJounte was just coming off an all-star season. he's not that guy anymore. So I think his value isn't as much. But what do we have asset-wise outside of picks that a team like Atlanta would want? That's the big question.
By the way, the trade you're talking about, wasn't that when Prokhorov owned the Nets and they wanted to try to get a team that would be in the playoffs because they'd opened the new building and it was just really short-sighted? And obviously, as you say, blew up the Nets long-term, but the Celtics, that's one of the reasons they're where they are right now is because of that trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got Tatum and Brown in that trade. You know, those picks turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And so, no, it's I don't know where Sacramento goes in terms of upgrading the roster. We know they have the picks to give, obviously, once it conveys to Atlanta. But what about the assets? You know, some of the players being thrown out. Mm-hmm. Their value isn't as high right now because the team is not performing as well as expectations.
I still think a guy like Davion has some value, and I'm not looking to trade anybody, but if you're talking about if you had to make a trade and a team is looking at the Kings roster, I'm not saying he's a centerpiece. I'm not saying somebody's going to come and offer you a star for Davion, but given that he had such a impressive, you know, credentials in college and it hasn't worked out here, I mean, he's a guy that I could see somebody saying, you know, we think we can find it. So there's a guy there, maybe. Yeah. Barnes, of course, a veteran. Herder, you know, if somebody thinks they can help find a shot. There are some veterans, but it's just a matter of who the buyer is and beauty's in the eye of the beholder, you know? So
yeah, I will say I do know that there are some within the organization who still have high hopes for Davion Mitchell. They're not ready to write him off just yet. And so I don't know, you know, if they would trade him, what kind of package or whatever, but they still feel like he has some value to this team. And so I've said it on camera, on air, you know, Davion, I worry about his fit in this system.
Right.
And it might be a better, you know, an opportunity for him to get a fresh start because I think he can be a good player in this league. I think he just got caught up in the whole coaching change and, you know, new system. You get Domantas Sabonis, who's your de facto point guard, and it's just harder for him to play off the ball.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Shrestha has been hanging on. Shrestha, you're on with the Drive Guys. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good listening to you. You guys have been amazing to listen to, and I just wanted to jump in on this this conversation you guys are having right now. You know, while we're waiting for the trade deadline and all these trade options you guys are talking about, I think one thing that the Kings should really consider is swapping Malik Monk for Herder into the starting lineup. You know, Monk's in the depth lineup when the game is ending. There's no reason why he can't be successful in the starting five. And, you know, let us, like, jump on some of these guys, you know, right out of the gate. And then let Herder get his shot back, you know, coming off the bench. I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
All right. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. Let's get your answer, Kyle. Take a quick time out. Got to take a quick break. Kyle will explain that to us. We'll also get back to more of your calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 as the Drive Guys roll on Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
And the conversation rolls on here with the Drive Guys. Here's a question. Kyle Draper's going to answer it for us. Shrestha just threw this out. And a lot of people, this is one of the most common comments slash questions I think Kings fans have right now. So you heard it, Kyle. Hey, why don't the Kings start Monk and have Kevin Herter coming off the bench? A lot of people are wondering that right now. What's the answer as you see it?
Well, it's a couple of reasons why that won't work. First of all, Malik is the perfect sixth man for this team. He's the de facto backup point guard for this team. He's the energizer bunny we need off the bench for this team. We want to, for some reason, bench Kevin Herter now when all last season Kevin Herter was pretty good in that role. He's struggling right now. I get it. But also, bringing Malik in the starting lineup doesn't help your defense. Like, defense is the issue here. And so I don't think changing the starting lineup or anything like that would impact the defense enough to make a difference. And if you bench Kevin Herter, when he comes in, he's not that backup point guard, de facto point guard. Like, he's not a creator as much as Malik Monk is. I think, and Mike Brown has talked about this, Malik is perfect where he's at. Just because Malik doesn't start the game doesn't mean he's not playing 25 to 30 minutes a night. Now, in my opinion, Malik should be pushing 30 minutes a night. That should be a no-brainer. But I don't think I would change the starting lineup. I don't think the starting lineup necessarily is the problem. I think it goes deeper than that. It goes, all right, who do we turn to off the bench defensively to make things happen? Keon Ellis has shown some flashes, yes, but we need to upgrade the bench defensively. And if I'm Mike Brown, and I said it last 2 weeks, I wish we could settle on a rotation and see these guys, because Sasha's in and out of the rotation. Chris Duarte's in and out. JaVale McGee's in and out. And part of the problem is they haven't, you know, grabbed that role by the horns and you know, done, you know, enough to earn that spot. But man, it has to be tough for Mike and the players, because you never know who's going to get in. You never know, is this going to be a Sasha 20 minute per game night or JaVale McGee? Is JaVale going to play 4 minutes, 5 minutes? And so I just wish that we would settle on a rotation for a good 2 week stretch and let these guys develop. Like, you can't tell me you've seen enough of Chris Duarte to already make up your minds on him. The dude has been in and out of the lineup. I look at games where he's been a game changer. I go back to San Antonio. I thought even the other night against Portland, he did some good things. And so, if we remember last year, it took Mike into December to settle a rotation. Now, with so many new players and different players, Sasha and Chris, you're adding into the mix. JaVale McGee, I think he's still trying to figure it out. And so I don't know if benching Kevin Herter is the answer, if I'm being honest. I love Malik, and I love what he is in this role that they have right now.
I think watching the Kings and watching the substitution patterns, I'm with you on Duarte. To me, and I haven't talked to Coach about this, and not that he would tell you a lot about it anyway, but Duarte is the guy that I think the Kings see as he could start. And they give him chances. I think he's a guy that if he were playing better, and he has started. I know he has at least one start. I think he's a guy that they would insert in the starting lineup if he played better. But as far as Monk goes, I go back to some numbers, Kyle, that you and I talked about a week ago. So there have been a few games since. But the five-man lineup, and I know we talked about this yesterday too, but the Barnes, Sabonis, Fox, Monk, Murray lineup, which is the starting lineup with Monk in and Herter out. So far, through last week, in 9 games, that bunch had a minus 13.3 net rating. So those five on the floor, and it's not a ton, they haven't spent a ton of time together, but that lineup has not been very effective. You know, and we don't notice that watching the game, but the coaches are keenly aware of that stuff. So that's another reason why we haven't seen Monk in the starting lineup. That lineup just hasn't been very good so far this year.
Right, exactly. And the coaches see these numbers also. I mean, and so I don't think that's the answer. Malik is fantastic where he is. You know, he's sort of that Manu Ginobili kind of guy, that, you know, that energizer that comes off the bench but plays starters minutes, you know. And we can look up the numbers here when it comes to the Sacramento Kings in terms of the minutes being played. Right now, Malik Monk, as I pull it up, he's playing 24.8 minutes. I'd like to see that go up to 27, 28. Him and Kevin Herter are basically splitting minutes. Kevin Herter's at 25. I think Malik should play more minutes. De'Aaron Fox at 35, Domas at 35, Keegan at 33, Harrison Barnes at 31. I mean, but look at Sasha. Sasha's playing 13 minutes per game. And as you know, Whitey, those aren't a consistent 13 minutes. It's not like we can put him in for 13. Chris Duarte's playing 12 minutes. It's hard to have an impact on the game. And I had a conversation with somebody about this regarding Davion Mitchell. When you look at it, Davion's backing up De'Aaron Fox, let's say, early in the season. De'Aaron Fox playing 35, 36 minutes. Sure, they play together sometimes, but that leaves about 12 minutes a game for Davion Mitchell. Now, mind you, the way they rotate De'Aaron Fox in, they put him in for six, take him out for three. Put him in for six, take him out for three. That's sort of so Davion, Keon, whoever it is that's backing up De'Aaron has 3 minutes to make an impact on a game. That's just not enough to really, you know, show everything you can do. And so they're in a tough position. Same thing, you know, Keon, and same thing with Sasha, Chris Duarte. These guys are getting 3 minute chunks, and it's hard to impact the game in that way.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mike joins us on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for hanging, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. You know, when I watched the last two games, I clearly, in my heart, believe they cannot be an elite team with the way the defense they play. They're not connected. And I keep hearing everybody about Zach LaVine and this and that. And the last thing we need is a $47 million scorer that plays no defense. And let me just use an example of this and as my example. Boston Celtics, I think, are going to win the championship this year. They have two great players, Jason Tatum, and they got Jaylen Brown. But the best thing that they did is they probably got the most underrated player in the NBA when they got Jrue Holiday. Lockdown defender, can give you 25 points a game, but he doesn't have to be the best player on the floor, because normally whoever he's guarding is not doing much. And then they put Derek White next to him. And what that's done is you can see now Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the big 7'4 stiff is actually playing defense, leading the NBA in shot blocks, Porzingis. So it all boats when defense is being played by a couple people and is playing well. Normally the rest of the guys on the floor start picking up their defensive pressure. So it's got to be somebody, a two or three, a wing, the wings of that can compete and actually connect the defense together. Not any more offense.
Thank you, Mike. And that's what I've been saying, Kyle. You know, the side swipes at Porzingis aside, whoever they're bringing in, if he doesn't help me defensively right now, I'm not interested.
No, I hear you 100%. I mean, because we just said the offense is not ideally you want a two-way player. That's why DeJounte Murray is the perfect guy.
Yeah.
You know, you look at his contract, sure, it goes up, you know, caps out at $30 million per year, but he's 27 years old. He can knock down the three, shooting 37% on better than six attempts, and he can play defense. He's long and athletic. And so, to me, that's the guy. I love Zach LaVine as a player on the offensive end. I do think we need guys, when the system breaks down, they can go out there and get you a bucket. DeJounte Murray's that also. Like, I'm all in. Whitey, you and I have solved this entire conversation. I don't know if we need to get Monty McNair on board or what, but DeJounte Murray is the answer, because he, like I said, he's great defensively, and he can shoot the ball, and he can get the buckets.
Yeah.
He can get you buckets.
And you're right. He costs a lot of money. Well, hello, good players cost a lot. Really good players are going to cost you a lot of money. So
exactly. That last caller talking about Jrue Holiday, Jrue Holiday is making $36 million this year. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, those guys don't grow on trees. But here's the thing, and this is a question and discussion that at some point has to be had. Celtics ownership they said they are all in. No matter what it costs, they are all in on getting banner number 18. Is our ownership all in, no matter what it costs? Because remember, we're a small market, and it's tough. Are you going to compete with the Golden States, the Lakers, the Bostons of the world in terms of spending money? Are we willing to do that? I don't know. But that's a discussion that needs to be had if we're talking about bringing in a Zach LaVine or somebody with a massive contract like that.
We're bringing in right now a heavy hitter, big money caller. TC joins us on Sacktown Sports. What's up, TC?
Whitey Drapes, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, just tapping in. Hey, look, hey, I'm 100% with the DeJounte Murray. As far as LaVine, I was like on a fence with LaVine, but as soon as I seen DeJounte Murray come up, I said, you know what? That's the Kings guy. Not only do we got ties with Wes Wilcox, right? But we always doing deals with Atlanta. That's how we got hurt on the steal deal for the first round pick. And that's all they gonna ask for. They ain't gonna ask for no players. They're gonna be like, hey, give us some draft picks, a couple second rounders or whatever, man, some future first. I'm all for that, bro. Just like steal him and throw him in the back of the in a lineup with Fox. That's the guy that Monty. Everybody's talking about the big name, Siakam, OG, now Kevin Durant, and then Monty always makes a move. Like when he got Domas, it's an all star. DeJounte Murray is that all star that nobody's thinking about that Monty's gonna pull a trigger on. Count, hey, mark it down right now. I got us getting. I don't have no sources. I got us getting DeJounte Murray, bro. That's the trade right there. I promise you, it's gonna blow everybody's wig. But that dude, 6'10", wingspan, throw him at the two. Hey, Drapes. Hey, Whitey, that's the move right there. Yep. I promise you, that's the move.
Yes,
thanks, TC. Yeah, problem solved, baby. What a glorious day.
We got it figured out. We just need Monty to go out there and do it, right? Make it happen.
Now we just need to outbid the Lakers.
Yeah, right.
No problem.
Exactly.
No
How the Lakers always involved in everything? Man, where they
Clutch
always
sports,
have assets
right?
from?
Clutch
it's
Sports.
Crazy.
Isn't how they get involved in everything? Clutch Sports is maneuvering their
yeah.
clients here and there.
Because apparently Rui Hachimura is the most valuable trade piece at the deadline somehow.
I like him, but I like our target better. Hey, before we take a break.
Yeah, DeJounte better.
Yeah. Let's go to Tin's been hanging on. Tin, thanks for hanging. You're okay. on the drive, guys. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys?
Good. What's up?
What's up? I don't know much about DeJounte Murray. He's a lengthy, small forward, which we already have in Keegan, so let's not make any moves.
Okay, gotcha. But that's not actually true, right, Kyle? DeJounte Murray is not a forward.
No, he could be your starting two guard.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at him, a 6'10 wingspan, 6'5 two guard, like, you know, and in San Antonio, he played some point guard, too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
You know, and he was their point. For a couple of years out there in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And so, no, this is not repetitive. I mean, Keegan Murray's 6'8", you know, DeJounte Murray's 6'5". Mm-hmm. And so I think he's your starting two guard. This guy is the answer. I mean, you know, I'm looking at his numbers. He's averaging 20 points per game, 5 assists. He's shooting 17 times a game. Think about that. He's averaging, and you got Trae Young. Mm-hmm. He's putting up these numbers with Trae Young, who we know is sort of, you know, a high usage rate guy. And he's shooting 6 threes a game, Whitey, at 37.4%. And he has a mid-range game, and he can create, and he could be your best on-ball defender as well. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. DeJounte Murray would be a perfect fit here in Sacramento.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is then I probably don't need Isaac Okoro, and I like Isaac Okoro. I really like him.
You're like, DeJounte, deals off. I need to get Isaac. I like Isaac Okoro also, but DeJounte Murray, I think he's a more complete Isaac Okoro.
I'm gonna get greedy on this deal when we come right back here. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Countdown the end of the year with us on Sacktown Sports.
Sunday, we close out 2023 and usher in 2024 with a big doubleheader. First, the San Francisco 49ers look to regroup as they battle the Commanders in D.C. Then it's the Kings and Grizzlies from Memphis.
49ers at 10, Kings at 5 on New Year's Eve on your home of the 49ers and Kings, Sacktown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Oh, so much more. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Drapes, I know that you have been trying to get former King Isaiah Thomas on the show, right? Hopefully in the new year.
Yes.
Yeah.
My guy, yes.
Yeah. He, on Twitter, somebody just asked him a couple hours ago, favorite young players in the league currently. So this is Isaiah Thomas. He says, Ja, Halliburton, Paulo, Chet, D-Fox, just to name a few.
Okay.
So that's nice. Yeah, that De'Aaron Fox getting a mention from the former Sacramento King point guard.
Yeah, and he also was asked his favorite coach. He said Mike Malone that he played for, believe it or not. And, you know, Mike Malone was a great coach in Sacramento. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, I'm sure, feels the same way. I was surprised Isaiah did not say Brad Stevens in Boston because that's where he had – his best years, but no, we got to get IT on. I don't know if he's mad at me or not. Because when I was in Boston, we had a discussion sort of like we've had before here in Sacramento And IT was going off. He was back-to-back all-star, 29 points per game. And they were asking, is he a superstar? And I was of the belief, no, not yet. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't feel like he's a star in the NBA, but not a superstar. And so hopefully that's not why he's mad at me. We're going to try to get him on, though. I would love to have a conversation with IT.
All we have to do is get Jay to call him and say, hey, Drapes wants to apologize to you. And then we bring him on. And then, you know, right. you forget or, you know, oh, sorry. I guess it was a mix-up. Thanks for
right,
coming on.
Right, Exactly. Because here's the thing. When he had his injury, Whitey, I was going through an injury also, and I'm not a finely tuned professional athlete, but I maintain the way the Celtics handled his injury ruined his career. Mm. And so I'm on his side, mm-hmm. And so hopefully he's not mad at me because I'm 100% on his side when it came to that injury
Maybe
situation.
Maybe he's just wary of, you know, not mad at you, but I don't know what that guy's
like. I don't know about this dude. Yeah. What's this guy's angle here? Yeah. You know, no, we're going to clear it up. We're going to get him on. We're going to get him on.
Yeah. He was a great Sacramento King. He was the Brock Purdy of the Kings because he was the last player taken in the draft and ended up being a fine player.
Finally, it took you an hour and 35 minutes to mention Brock Purdy. I've been waiting all show for Niners fans to bring up their quarterback. It's been crickets this week, Whitey. And I know it's not that segment. I don't think we're talking about Brock right now.
We can do it. Yeah.
I haven't had nobody tweet at me about Brock Purdy. I ain't had nobody on the radio, on YouTube mention Brock Purdy, on the text line. Brock Purdy, people are quiet about him this week. I wonder why.
Sorry, more DeJounte Murray talk coming up next.
No, Kyle, last week I remember you saying, I just don't want to talk about Brock Purdy anymore. So I thought, well, all right. You know, I respect that. Respect my partner. Don't want to go there.
Y'all killing me, man. You got to understand. You have to understand. I take a lot from Niners fans, Whitey. I dish it out, yes, but I take a lot. I sat there when the Niners were kicking my Eagles butt. My mentions were on fire. Every 2 minutes. Where you at now, Drapes? We ain't talking now. And I took it. Their quarterback has 4 interceptions. They are quiet as church mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Where you at, Niners fans? Stand up. Represent your squad. And here's the thing about the Niners. And I'm seeing all these apologists. Oh, it's just one game. You know, oh, Dante Whitner. Them losing like this is a good
blessing
thing.
In disguise.
It's been ridiculous this week, man. The only guy that I think I'm a respecter in all of this that has spoken out is my guy Bonte Hill, because he has lit Brock Purdy up this week, saying he got to be better. You know, people are calling it fluky interceptions. Where you at, Niners fan?
Mm-hmm.
Where you at? Talk to your boy. You can't give me crap when my Eagles lose to the Seahawks and then your guys get demolished by my guy Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and now it's crickets. I don't want to be that. And we can play that game, Niners fans, but y'all awfully quiet this week.
I want to say this. I appreciate this that, I texted you and Jay and Simone, people on the show, and Christmas, like, hey, hope everybody's having a good holiday. And everybody said, yeah. And then I thought, and then the game started. I thought, I'm going to get another text from Drapes here pretty soon. And I didn't. And I thought, that's nice because it's Christmas. But I was checking. I thought, no, I don't know if I want to check my phone.
I don't like to kick people when they're down. I let the play on the field do the talking. And we saw what happened Christmas Day with Brock Purdy.
Drapes, do you know about Simone's Christmas and what happened yet?
No, what happened? Tell me.
She got surprised with tickets to go to Santa Clara and watch that game on Christmas. So she was in the building.
I didn't know that.
Watching the 49ers get crushed.
Yeah,
oh my God. And see, this is the problem, Niners fans. This is the problem. When you talk trash and act all arrogant like you've been doing, sometimes the rooster will come home
to roost.
The chickens will come home to roost.
Yeah, it was a bad game. Kyle explained the 4 interceptions, Jess. I don't know if you heard. It's like, yeah, okay, no big deal. First one was a bad throw. It's like, you can't make that throw in that coverage. Second one was, Which one was the second?
It was the
one?
Hamilton was in the end zone.
That was no. Second one was he saw the blitz. Pretty saw the blitz coming, and actually made a good read and just didn't get the ball over the defender. Great play.
Yep.
Third one was a really flukish, like whoop to Kittle, 50-50 ball to Kittle that went straight up in the air. And then the fourth one, he was hit as he threw it. So you got a couple tips in there. You got one bad throw, and you got some great defensive plays. So I don't know what's the problem. What's the problem,
hey, Kyle? And I forget, was it Cam Newton? Yeah, no, was it, who said it? It might have been Micah Parsons. Somebody, I think it was Micah Parsons who had said about, let me look this up real quick here, about Brock Purdy. And watching that game, and I don't want to hammer him too much, but when the Niners got down, the way for them to come back in that game, the play calling, was short passes. I think, was it Micah Parsons who said, I forget the exact quote, but you would think, all right, you got to start airing it out. They simplified the game plan for Brock Purdy in that second half when they got down big. Yeah. There were a lot of, you know, line of scrimmage throws out there instead of, all right, let's stretch the field. Let's, you know, chuck it down. Like, he was doing dump offs. And the same thing Micah Parsons said, I thought about it during the game. I'm like, you're down 2-3 touchdowns, and you're throwing 1-yard pass plays? Like, to me, that showed either a lack of faith in your quarterback, or B, an understanding that today is not his day. I'm almost going to save him from a 5 or 6 interception kind of game.
Or like, C,
What did you get a play calling in that, Whitey?
May I offer C, the Ravens had a huge lead, and they know that we're going to make them throw underneath, and we don't care. We're not going to let them get behind us because we have a huge lead. The defense may have something to do with that as well when you've got a big lead like that. You got to throw underneath, and then we'll make the tackles, and that way you can't catch up. How about that? How about option C?
It was the Ravens defense who forced the – short passes.
Well, they're not going to give you when they've got a big lead. They're not going to let you throw over the top of their secondary.
It looked like the play calling to me, though. It looked like the play calling to me that, you know what, we're going to simplify it and just throw short passes to CMC and Debo and hope that they can break some tackles. I don't know. Maybe I had a different point of view than everybody else. But
I'm gonna let Debo take up this argument. We'll take a break. When we come right back, you mentioned Cam and Micah Parsons and Debo sticking up for his quarterback, and then that devolved into a whole thing about Debo complaining that Cam was calling him, and Cam saying, "I never called you." It's quite a conundrum. So Debo sticking up for his quarterback. When we come right back, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
This may be the greatest day in the history of our show, and we haven't been on the air that long. Will we start officially in October, Kyle, I think it was?
Yep, October, yeah.
And today's the day we have solved the Kings' problems going forward. So, with your help, of course, we realized of all the available options, DeJounte Murray is the guy for the Kings, a perfect fit. So, it'll be a matter of time, but I'm sure that'll come to fruition, and then we can all just bask in the afterglow of that, and we'll get back to that, because as I said earlier, I'm getting more and more greedy as I think about that potential trade. There's more I want from the Hawks, so we'll get to that.
But we're okay.
Because there's a guy, you know, I've talked about him, just you and I think off there. There's a guy on the Hawks I really like. I would like to see him throw him into the deal, but we'll get to that.
Okay. All right, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we're just talking about Brock Purdy and Cam Newton. And Cam Newton, by the way, is a little bit trying to have it both ways, saying that Brock Purdy is a game manager, not a game changer, but then saying, you know, that's not bad. But then during the game when Brock Purdy struggled a little bit against Baltimore, you had Cam Newton posting the monocle emojis, like, what's this? What's this? And then saying, oh, no. I think he walked that back, too. It's like, no, I didn't mean anything by that. I mean, it's fine. Just, you know, own it. But Debo was on Up and Adams yesterday, and Debo has had enough of Cam coming after his quarterback. Here's Debo.
First of all, Cam Newton stopped texting my phone, bro. He was a fan like 2 weeks ago. Like, that's mad crazy. Like, you wanted me on your podcast after talking about my quarterback, which is funny to me.
Yeah. So it turns out Cam wasn't the one texting Debo. It was somebody posing as Cam, and it looks like Debo got pranked by someone pretending to be Cam. So this whole thing has not gone well for Debo Samuel.
It's been a bad week for 49ers, right?
Like, a little bit. Yeah, you could say that.
And you know, when Debo posted the screenshots of the text,
yeah,
I thought, oh man, he got Cam Newton. He actually pulled the receipts. And then to find out that Debo got pranked, it's just like, all right, dude, just take this loss, focus on coming up Washington, get back to football. This social media back and forth ain't working out for you, Debo. I'm sorry. It's just not working
out for you. Did the person who trolled Debo text in the Cam Newton weird font thing? Is that what happened? Okay.
Yes. Exactly. They did exactly that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an expert level troll by whoever that person is. Just 10 out of 10 job.
Yeah. It was definitely well done for what it's worth. But now onward and upward for the 49ers. And now, you know, Debo's not as concerned with it because he's on the offensive side. But Kyle, I think of all the problems the 49ers have right now, Brock Purdy is not really your biggest problem. And obviously there's concern. Can he come back from that? But you look at what's going on in the secondary, and you look at how important it is for the 49ers to end up with the top record in the conference so they can get a bye. They got some real issues right now.
They do have some real issues, but, and I'm going to say this, Whitey, and this will prove my objectiveness. You don't face a Lamar Jackson every day. What Lamar does with his legs buying time really caused problems for that 49ers secondary. And I know they're banged up. I know they got some issues back there. But the reason why the Niners have been so successful is because their pass rush has been so great that the secondary doesn't have to hold the line too long, you know? Well, but when you have a Lamar Jackson who can extend plays, then that puts some strain on your secondary. And I thought that's what we saw out there the other night. So I'm not going to, you know, if they go against, if they go against Jared Goff.
What have you done with the real Kyle Draper? Where's the real Kyle Draper?
I told you, man, I'm objective. Niners fans don't believe it. They think I'm all hate, but give Lamar Jackson a lot of credit. Like, because the pressure got there. He just escaped it, bought some time with his legs, and then made some excellent throws and found guys open. I don't think you'll find that every time. Now, I will say, my guy Jalen Hurts is a guy that extends plays. Not saying the Eagles would beat the Niners. Niners are the better team right now, yes. But if Jalen Hurts is able to buy time with his legs – He can carve up that defense like we saw Baltimore do,
yeah,
I think.
But as you know, and as the 49ers have said, they're two different types of – yeah, they're both mobile quarterbacks, but they're two totally different types of guys when it comes to escaping the pocket. And Jalen Brown will more, attack, what is it, the A-gap, the B-gap, whereas Lamar Jackson, you don't know what he's going to do because he can do whatever he wants.
Lamar Jackson is like a freestyle basketball player, you know? He's just – you know, the way he moves, it's just he's herky jerky with it. Whereas, you know, Jalen Hurts is more of a straight line guy, Lamar is a playground quarterback. Like, he's that guy that no matter what game you're playing, he's going to be tough to bring down.
Yeah, he can be. Obviously, that's not his whole. It's not like he's just out there fooling around, but he can be when it's like, all right, things have broken down. I got to make something happen. There's nobody better. I thought that the first interception that Brock Purdy threw, you know, they're driving and the 49ers traditionally score early in a game that was going to be that close. It would have been big to strike first, and they had a chance. I thought when he threw that first interception at the goal line, I don't think he ever really recovered from that. I think he was stunned by that because he knew how big that was.
You might be right. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, delved into a house of horrors. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But that was a bad throw. And I don't know. I forget the guy who picked it off. I don't even know if he saw him, over there. And so what concerns me about Brock Purdy, and as great as he's been through his career, we cannot ignore the fact that he hasn't been tested a lot.
That's
he,
fair.
He hasn't
totally
had
fair.
To go out and mm-hmm. win it himself mm-hmm. a lot. And so that's been my whole point through all this. We comparing him to Joe Montana and Tom Brady, Whitey, the two most clutch quarterbacks in the history of the game. I need to see this guy run a 2-minute drill. I need to see this guy lead a team back. And I know he did it last year in the playoffs. They you know, had a great game. What was it? Dallas, I think it was, where they, you know, beat the Cowboys. But I need to see this guy when the game plan is falling apart, when I That's don't fair. Need to see throw at 5 yards to Debo and he runs 25 mm-hmm. yards. Mm-hmm. I need to see him put this team on his back before I put him in the likes of a Tom Brady or a Joe Montana.
Brock Purdy today.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand that. Brock Purdy talked today. He discussed what he called the fine line between being smart and letting the ball yeah. rip. And on that interception, it was like, even Kyle Shanahan said, he saw something there. I understand what he saw, but you can't throw that pass in that coverage. And I think Brock Purdy's always going to have that streak in him. You know, and I think he's for the most part, you know, just so solid and good every week. But I think you go back and look at the way he played in college. I think there's going to be throughout his career, there's going to be some days there where it all unravels because he takes chances and, you know, sometimes right. you roll snake eyes. But it's to your point, there's a lot of people now saying, "Boy, I told you," and we'll see how he bounces back this week. It's not a very good team they're playing, but still, right. He's got a lot to prove this week.